Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to the attention of humanity that is suited to its needs at that particular time. Usually, this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces is in decline, and as our solar system moves more into alignment with the constellation of Aquarius, new energies begin to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly, and chaos ensues as the old order begins to crumble to make way for the impulse of sharing justice and peace for all.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our program presented for Share International New Zealand. Today's topic is nuclear weaponry. We have input from the United Nations, Jimmy Carter, and BASIC, the British American Security Information Council. The articles cover the US North Korea discussions. And this is titled United Nations Adopts Treaty Banning Nuclear Weapons. Amid cheers and applause, 122 member states of the United Nations formally adopted on 7th July 2017 the first multilateral legally binding instrument for nuclear disarmament to have been negotiated in 20 years. Negotiated in response to a mandate given by the United Nations General Assembly, the treaty bans a full range of activities, including the development, testing, production, manufacture, acquisition, possession, or stockpiling of nuclear weapons or other nuclear explosive devices, as well as the use of threat or use of these weapons. For nuclear-armed nations who wish to join, it also outlines processes for destroying stockpiles and helping countries maintain their promise to remain free of nuclear weapons. While the world's nuclear-armed countries conspicuously boycotted the historic vote, organizations in support of the treaty hope that its widespread acceptance will eventually increase the public pressure and stigma of harboring and threatening to use such weapons of destruction, forcing holdout countries to reconsider their positions. Ambassador Elaine White Gomez of Costa Rica, president of the conference that negotiated the treaty, said, "We feel emotional because we are responding to the hopes and dreams of the present and future generations. We are saying to our children that, yes, it is possible to inherit a world free from nuclear weapons." Crediting the Hibakusha, Japanese survivors of the atomic bombs, as the driving force in the creation of the Nuclear Weapons Prohibition Treaty, White Gomez said that the experiences they have shared touch the human soul, adding that the negotiations were a combination of reason and heart, and the source for that was the NewYorkTimes.com, or we could also go to www.unitednations.org, thebulletin.org.
So this next article is based on a statement that the former United States President Jimmy Carter released on 10th August 2017 after recent public comments between United States officials and North Korea. Here are some excerpts from that statement. "The harsh rhetoric from Washington and Pyongyang during recent months has exacerbated an already confrontational relationship between our countries and has probably eliminated any chance of good faith peace talks between the United States and North Korea. In addition to restraining the warlike rhetoric, Our leaders need to encourage talks between North Korea and other countries, especially China and Russia. The recent UN Security Council unanimous vote for new sanctions suggests that these countries could help. In all cases, a nuclear exchange must be avoided. All parties must assure North Koreans that we will forgo any military action against them if North Korea remains peaceful. I have visited North Korea three times and have spent more than 20 hours in discussions with their political leaders regarding important issues that affect the US and North Korea relations. During all these visits, the North Koreans emphasized that they wanted peaceful relations with the United States and their neighbors, but were convinced that we planned a preemptive military strike against their country. They wanted a peace treaty, especially with America, to replace the ceasefire agreement that had existed since the end of the Korean War in 1953, and to end the economic sanctions that had been very damaging to them during that long interim period. They have made it clear to me and others that their first priority is to ensure that their military capability is capable of destroying a large part of Seoul and of responding strongly in other ways to any American attack. The influence of China in Pyongyang seems to be greatly reduced since Kim Jong-un became the North Korean leader in December 2011. And President Jimmy Carter finishes by saying, "A commitment to peace by the United Nations and North Korea is crucial. When this confrontational crisis is ended, the United States should be prepared to consummate a permanent treaty to replace the ceasefire of 1953. The United States should make this clear to North Koreans and to our allies." The source for that was the website fox5atlanta.com.
And now we come to an interview with Paul Ingram by Meryl Tihany, and it's entitled "Working for a World Free from the Threat of Nuclear Weapons." The British American Security Information Council, BASIC, a UK and US-based think tank founded in 1987, uses an inclusive, non-partisan and dialogue-based approach to promote nuclear disarmament and non-proliferation. Paul Ingram, the group's executive director since 2007, has authored a number of BASIC's reports and briefings covering a variety of nuclear and non-nuclear issues since 2002. Ingram also hosted a program on IRINN, that is Islamic Republic of Iran News Network, that focused on issues relevant to global security, and he taught senior civil servant leadership skills at the UK's National School of Government. Meryl Tihany interviewed him for Share International. Now, Share International said at the beginning, "Before we discuss BASIC's work, could you comment on the current situation with North Korea and what could be done to help resolve the situation peacefully?" And Paul Ingram replied, "It appears that North Korea now has an emerging effective nuclear deterrent that sits alongside its existing conventional capabilities that already had the capacity to cause devastation to South Korea. Other states have to accept that there is a deterrent relationship with North Korea and for the moment pursue a plan of strategic stability. But this also means that the US needs to abandon the strategy of intimidation and threat of war in response to North Korea's development of military capabilities, and instead open up a dialogue with the purpose of providing some forms of assurance in both directions. The North Koreans have been looking for such a dialogue for several decades. It's time to sit down with them on this basis and stop thinking we can intimidate them into submission."
So the next question was, what is the main focus of BASIC's work? And Paul Ingram's reply, "BASIC is a think tank with an agenda to achieve progress toward nuclear disarmament by working with governments and other stakeholders in trying to overcome the obstacles to nuclear disarmament. We do this on the understanding that nuclear weapons are held for a reason, that governments feel trapped in their existing nuclear doctrines, that there is a great deal of fear that prevents them from giving up the attachment to weapons that they believe are essential to their national security, that there is a great deal of attachment, in addition to that, to the power that they bring, the status and the sense that nuclear weapons are the ultimate form of currency in the international community, the currency of power. What we are trying to do is bring concepts such as responsibility and multilateral cooperation into the situation so that governments take a greater sense of urgency in creating the conditions that can lead to nuclear disarmament. We do this by bringing people together in dialogue and by trying to better understand the complex dimensions of the traps that governments are involved in. We avoid lecturing or coming up with specific solutions which only add to the complexity and disagreements around how we move forward. Rather, we seek to work in such a way that governments build trust in our agenda and process so that we can build on that trust to open up opportunities for progress.
The next question is, who does BASIC work with in this way and how do you approach these discussions? And Paul Ingram replied, working in the United Nations, we establish relationships with various countries, assessing their existing positions at policies and approaches, and seeking to help them reduce the utility they attach to nuclear weapons. We work with the UK and US, as well as Russia and other European states. We also work in the Middle East and South Asia. With the UK and US, we operate on several levels, with their foreign ministry and state development and department looking at their approaches to nuclear weapons diplomacy, seeking to encourage a step-by-step arms control approach, valuing their achievements and seeking proposals to encourage them to take their achievements further. We also work with defence officials looking at some of the unintended consequences of deploying nuclear weapon systems and highlighting some of the dangers associated with these deployments. In the Middle East, we have been looking over the years at ways of overcoming the obstacles to a WMD, that is, weapons of mass destruction, free zone in the region. We work with the Gulf state officials to try to build confidence in an international approach that looks at nuclear security and safety as a way to establish a regional dialogue with Iran. There, together with Iranian officials, we created an alternative means to challenge the system that currently is based upon developing nuclear technologies, which just spark fear and reaction and instead choose alternative technologies and strategies. With the Russians, we have been engaged in hosting a number of roundtables in Moscow to consider the perspectives around the use of nuclear weapons and alternative approaches to building dialogues with the West. We have also hosted roundtables throughout Europe with NATO allies to talk about how they might reduce their attachment to the deployment of tactical nuclear weapons in Europe as a means to gain assurance of US commitment to Europe and assurance that the Russians will not have the capability of threatening their national security. And we are publishing a report on the debate in Finland over landmines as an example of a state that gave up a defence capability that they perceived to be essential to their national security in relation to Russia, on the basis that ultimately they believed their national security was better served by a stronger, more coherent international community in which most states believe landmines play no part. So in the nuclear weapons field, we examine country by country and region by region ways of challenging the established assumption that nuclear weapons bring security and power. We are working with officials to find alternative means of achieving their objectives without undermining international security or dropping into an arms race.
And the next question, are there examples of progress with nuclear disarmament in recent years that might offer a sense of hope or something of a model going forward? And Paul Ingram's reply, we do have examples of disarmament and international agreements. South Africa had a small arsenal of nuclear weapons that they dismantled and then invited the IAEA, which stands for the International Atomic Energy Agency, in to verify. Former Soviet states had nuclear weapons on their territory, which were all sent to Russia in the years soon after the end of the Cold War. This included the Ukraine. There are a number of states that have had nuclear weapon programs but have given them up. They include Sweden, Switzerland, Brazil, Argentina, Taiwan, and South Korea. Nuclear weapon-free zones span much of the globe, involving commitments not to acquire nuclear weapons and verification of processes between states in order to foster confidence. The review conference in 2010 for the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons, the international treaty regulating nuclear weapons, agreed unanimously on a 64-point plan to further nuclear disarmament, non-proliferation, and the responsible use of nuclear energy. We have had a number of arms control agreements in the past, the most recent being the START II, which stands for Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty Agreement, that came into force in 2011 between the US and Russia, limiting their strategic warheads and delivery systems and agreeing on verification processes. Back in the Cold War, it was extraordinary how in times of deep distrust, the adversaries were able to agree to far-reaching arms control measures, demonstrating that trust is not essential to negotiations, though of course it helps.
And the next question is, what are the next steps planned for efforts to ban nuclear weapons worldwide? And Paul Ingram replied, the anti-nuclear weapons campaign groups will be focused on trying to get as many states as possible to sign and ratify the ban treaty. There will be particular attention on states that may be indirectly associated with nuclear deterrence, allies and others. There will be some groups who will be seeking to encourage the nuclear weapon states not to sign this treaty, but to reinvigorate their efforts to engage in arms control and changes to their nuclear posture. One example would be to look again at the possibility of states declaring that they would not use nuclear weapons first, or that they would give stronger guarantees to other states that they would not use nuclear weapons except in very extreme circumstances, or that they would engage in further arms control or reduction in the number of nuclear weapons deployed, or abandon particular nuclear weapon systems that are unstable. There are various steps that nuclear armed states could take. We will be engaging with a number of nuclear states in a dialogue on all of these matters. And the last question is there anything you would like to add? And Paul Ingram replied, I perceive nuclear weapons to be one of the dark recesses of the human condition. They come from a place of extreme fear and a desire for power and dominance. If we can work on this issue and escape the dangers that are manifested by nuclear weapons, if we can find ways around and out of this problem, we'll have found some significant ways of coexisting. It's important in its own right, but also important as an issue in finding ways to move to a more positive way of being.
Now we would like to read an article from Benjamin Krems Master titled A New World in the Making. Many will remember how, only a few short years ago, the world braced itself for nuclear destruction. Few there were who expected humanity to survive the war of words, the Cold War. Rather, most awaited the fateful countdown and resigned themselves to eventual oblivion. Recent events have changed such fatalism and brought new hope to despairing humanity. The bridges between the nations are being erected one by one, and the barriers diminish daily. Soon, a new dawn will shed a brighter light on man's problems and show the way to their solution. Above all, the nuclear threat has receded. Mankind breathes gratefully anew, and in the atmosphere of trust thus engendered, the stockpiled horror loses its terror for the race. However, many nations, large and small, have placed their faith in nuclear weapons, hoping to outface their enemies or rivals for influence and power. This presents many problems, for few acknowledge possession of the bomb, and most are reluctant to relinquish its potency and use. Nevertheless, significant strides towards disengagement and disarmament are being taken by the major powers, and this bodes well for a reduction of arms around the world. At last, the emerging nations can grow without the necessity of subservience to one ideology or another for their aid. The sharp demarcations ideologically drawn are losing their definition, and a new freedom and flexibility is beginning to be felt. Much there is of confusion and potential danger in the world, but now, for the first time in half a century, the peoples can look forward with growing confidence to a new world in the making.
Thank you for listening. Love and blessings to all.